Genesis chapter 19. Look if you would, starting at verse 12. Genesis chapter 19, starting at verse 12. It says, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, upon Gomorrah with brimstone fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Let's pray again. Father, again, I ask you, Lord, that you'll just open our minds and our ears to your word this morning. Lord, we come to hear from you. And Lord, we expect to hear from you, Lord, from your word. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as you give us conviction, as you speak to our hearts, Lord, that we'll all humble ourselves before you, that we will hear what you have to say, Lord, and then do what you tell us to do, do what you're leading us to do. Lord, that your will be done. And Lord, if that means a person today that's here and maybe they're not saved, Lord, I pray that they'll be saved this morning. Lord, if that means that there's a Christian here this morning that's not right with you, Lord, maybe they've allowed sin in their life or a certain attitude, Lord, I just pray that they'll get right with you today. And Lord, I just pray that we'll remember the time that we're living in. It's so important, Lord, for Christians today in this world that thinks less about Christianity than probably any other time in history. Lord, help us as Christians to just wake up and see, Lord, that we are living in the last days. And now is not the time to slough, Lord. Now is the time for us to get busy and tell as many people as we can about Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see that this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these verses, we see the story of Sodom. And certainly we know that Sodom was a city known to be a wicked city. It was a city that sat southwest of the Dead Sea. And Sodom will always be remembered as a wicked city that God destroyed. God had sent angels into that city just to see how wicked it was. And it wasn't long before those angels, after they entered into the city, that they found out just how wicked that city was. And so God decided to destroy that city. But before he unleashed his wrath upon Sodom, he told Lot and all of his family to get out first. And the angel asked Lot in verse 12, he said, "Has there any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place?" Most people, when we read about the story of Lot and the story of Sodom, most people think that Lot only had two daughters, and that was the two virgin daughters he had living with him in the house. Okay, but we know here that he had at least four daughters, because he had the daughters that were with him, and then he also had sons-in-laws. And remember, it talked about how he went to warn his sons-in-laws, and it seemed like he mocked, they mocked him and everything. And so we know for sure that he had at least four daughters. But if you also notice here when it says, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, it makes it even sound like he probably had some sons there as well. Okay, and so the angel here told Lot to get his family together and leave the city before God decided to destroy it. But we're told in verse 16 that Lot lingered in the city. So the angels had to actually take them by the hand to get them out. Now, listen, what that's saying is this. When the angel said, listen, we're going to destroy the city, that alone was not enough to get Lot to leave. The angels had to take Lot and his wife by the hand and take them out of that city. Okay? And so the great teaching here is, and that you need to understand here this morning, is that God will never pour out his wrath upon the righteous. He'll never pour out his wrath upon the righteous. The wrath of God is for all unrighteousness, not for the righteous. And so the Bible says that as a born-again child of God today, that we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not appointed unto the wrath of God. Why? Because we have put on the righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness that we're relying upon today that keeps us saved. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But once you put on the righteousness of Christ and it's his righteousness you're counting on, God will never pour out his wrath upon the righteousness of Christ. So therefore, if you're a born-again believer today, you're not appointed under wrath. You will never be appointed under wrath. If you'll remember here in this story, that angel said, we can't destroy the city until we get you out. We can't. Why? God's wrath is not going to be poured out upon the righteous. Okay? And if you read over the New Testament, you'll find out that Lot was a righteous man. Okay? And so God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth one of these days, just as he did Sodom. But the Bible is clear that before he does, all those that are saved will be raptured out of here first, because we have put on the righteousness of Christ. And the judgment and wrath of God is coming. Not only is his wrath coming upon this earth, but his wrath is also coming upon the souls of men. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the only way to avoid his wrath is to be saved here this morning. Because when a person gets saved, he does put on the righteousness of Christ. And so today, if you're not saved, you need to understand that the wrath of God abideth upon you. Okay, well, you say, well, Pastor, I can't believe we come to church just to hear that. Well, listen, that's the truth. If you've never been saved, the wrath of God is abiding upon you. You're condemned already, the Bible says, and you're just waiting to die, and then you will face his wrath forever. Listen, if the rapture happens right now, then you'll face his wrath upon this earth. You are going to face the wrath of God if you don't get saved. So why not get saved? Just get saved. You say, how can I be saved? Well, the Bible tells us that you need to admit to yourself and to God that you're a sinner, that you've sinned like everybody else, and understand that you owe a wage for your sin, and that wage is death, and believe that Jesus Christ paid your wage 2,000 years ago on the cross. You've heard me say it a million times, I'll say it a million and one. Somebody still has to pay the wages of those sins. Somebody always has to pay. If a sin is committed, somebody's got to pay for it. It's either you or Jesus Christ. It's your choice. But I will tell you this, if you choose to pay it yourself, you'll pay for it eternity, because you'll pay for it until the Lord dies, because every sin you've ever committed was a sin against God. And as long as he lives, that's how long you'll be in a lake of fire. And he's eternal. He has no beginning or ending. You say, boy, that's pretty scary. Then get saved. Get saved. You say, how can I do that? Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and calling upon him to save you. That's the only thing that will save you. And so, if you're not saved this morning, I bid you to get saved. But I want you to notice here also that in verse 16 of our opening verse there in Genesis 19, it says this. It says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now that seems like it's pretty clear. He said, listen, I'm going to deliver you from this city. I'm going to deliver you from Sodom, this wicked place. And when I deliver you from Sodom, when I put you out here, don't look back. You just keep going. Don't look back in this direction. Look the other direction. Look the opposite direction. Don't ever do, don't look back. But then drop down to verse 25. And it says, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. What a tragic story. What a tragic story. Lot's wife had been delivered from the city before God destroyed it, and she was told to keep going and never look back. But as she and her family were fleeing from the city, rather than looking ahead, she turned and looked back. And when she turned, she was turned to a pillar of salt. Now turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 24. Now the context here, if you'll notice, is the Lord coming back. That's the context. And in verse 24 it says this. It says, for as the lightning that lingereth out of one part of under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and a flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from the earth or from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, talking about when he returns. In that day he shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whatsoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now here Jesus is telling folks how it's going to be just before he returns. He describes a time that he returns to be very similar to the time of the days of Noah. If you remember, during the days of Noah, it says the imagination of man was wicked all the time. That's how bad it was. In fact, it was so bad, men had become so bad, that outside of Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives, eight people, outside of those eight people who got on the boat, every living creature, every living human being, every creature that breathed through the nostrils, all of it was wiped out by the flood. That's how bad man got on this earth. And the Bible says here, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming Son of Man. And so, listen, what that's saying is this. That's saying that when the Lord comes back, things are not going to be good on this earth. Amen? How many of you notice that things are kind of getting bad here? I'll tell you this, folks. I saw something this past week that I couldn't believe. I saw that now they're saying that 70% now say it's okay for same-sex marriage. That's in this country. Do you realize that 50, 75 years ago, you know how much different it was when it comes to that statistic? Why is that? Well, you could say, well, the church isn't doing its job. I agree with that. There are a lot of pulpits today that aren't preaching the Bible like they should be, and our Christians are not growing. I understand that. But at the same time, listen, we're told that this world's going to get worse and worse. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming Son of Man. So we know that things are not, listen, I'm not one here to just throw doom and gloom all over you this morning, but I'm just going to tell you that there are people saying that man's getting better and better. No, man's getting worse and worse. And if you don't believe it, get outside some and talk to people. Okay, today we're getting really, really bad. And it says, as the days of Noah were, so it compares it to the days of Noah. But he also describes the time that he comes back to the time, he compares it to the time of Lot there in the city of Sodom, where there was great wickedness going on. And no doubt we're seeing in this nation and world today just some of the ways that this world is much like Sodom was back then. Okay, but as the Lord describes here, he describes how things on this earth is going to be when he returns. Notice he throws in three little words, kind of in the middle of the whole thing. He's saying it's going to be like it was during the time of Noah when I come back. Oh, and when I come back, it's going to be it's going to be like the time of Lot there in Sodom. And then he throws in those three little words there in verse 32. And those three little words there are some of the biggest warnings for Christians that you will find in all the Bible. And that warning is, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, why did he put those words there? I mean, because she was one that was delivered from destruction. She was one that was delivered from the wrath of God. But she looked back. And she looked back at all she had. She looked back at all that she was. She looked back at all of her reputation, her relationships, her financial portfolio, whatever. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus here, he says, remember Lot's wife. Now remember, he's talking to the disciples here. And he's saying, you remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, who was Lot's wife? I mean, what was her name? Well, the Bible never tells us. She's just known as Lot's wife or Mrs. Lot. Okay. But what a thing. I mean, in all the scriptures, the thing that she's remembered for, and the only time that Jesus ever mentions her in the Bible is a warning to say, remember Lot's wife. Isn't that something? I mean, the only time you're mentioned in the Bible is as a warning to everybody else. Don't be like that person. That's what you see. Nobody remembers Lot's wife or her influence or her education or her looks or how fit she was or the dinner party she threw. She's only known for one thing, and that's for looking back. That's the only thing she's known for. She loved the things of this the world so much that she had to look back. She couldn't just leave it all behind and do the will of God. She just had to look back, and poof, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, obviously, considering that the Lord is coming back, he's warning us that as Christians, we are to remember what happened to Lot's wife. And we're not to love this present world like she loved Sodom. And we're not to look back. As Christians, listen, when the Lord saved you, he saved you from your sins. As Christians, you have a tremendous future. And serving the Lord is the greatest life that you'll ever live. I was talking to somebody just this past week, just how big of an adventure it is just being right with God and living day to day. Because you see the Lord moving and you see the Lord doing certain things and you see all the great things of God and you're able to see these things. You're like, wow, this is awesome. But you know, not all Christians are like that. There are Christians, and all of us do it. We sometimes get away from the Lord and we get to the point where we start to love the world. And rather than moving forward in our Christian life, we have a tendency to stop and look back. Look back at those things in the world. That's what Lot's wife did. And Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm coming again. You remember Lot's wife. You remember Lot's wife. Now, what do we as Christians sometimes look back at? Well, one thing that we sometimes look back at is sometimes we look back at the good times before we were saved. What we perceive as the good times before we were saved. Now, we don't know for sure that Mrs. Lot was thinking about that as she looked back at Sodom, but she had to be thinking about something, otherwise she would never turn around and look back. Perhaps she was looking back thinking about, you know, what she perceived as being the good times that she had there while she was in Sodom. But the truth is, those were not really good times at Sodom, there in Sodom at all, if you think about it. There was wickedness there. Now, how do we know that? Because over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says this about how things were really like in Sodom. In 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, and delivered just Lot, saying he was a just man, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. In other words, when he was in Sodom, he was vexed with the wicked actions that were going on in the city of Sodom. His soul was vexed with that. And it says this, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. There were wicked things going on that he could see day after day. There were wicked things being said that he could hear over and over and over. These were not good times. It says his soul was vexed. Well, his wife was sitting there listening to the same things and seeing the same things. And so things were not great in Sodom. Things were wicked in Sodom. Now, you know, sometimes we look back at the world and the way things used to be before we were delivered from sin and were saved, and don't we sometimes reminisce about the supposed good times? You know, back when we used to be the shape of a Coke bottle, but now we're the shape of a mayonnaise jar. You know, some Christians were brought up in Christian homes, and they were saved at a very young age. And I'm thankful for anybody that was, you know, saved at a young age and brought up in Christian homes. And honestly, I wish that was the case for everybody, but that's not the case for everybody. There are some who were saved later in life. People had lived many years of not being saved. And I'll admit that when it comes to those people, they have somewhat more of a clear view of what salvation really is than some people that were saved at a younger age do, because they know how they lived and they know from what they were saved from. But many times those Christians sometimes look back at some of the things they did before they were saved, and they start to miss those days and start again to love this present world. 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Listen, why are we looking back at the world? Don't you understand this world is not going to be here forever? It's temporary. Hey, listen, you know, you may look back at the world today, but 1,000 years from now, this world will not exist. And if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven far better than this world ever dreamed of being. And as Christians, we're going to be in heaven one of these days. And why would we ever look back to the things that, the times before we were saved and call them the good times? Before you were saved, you were without hope. You had no hope at all. Before you were saved, you were facing eternal hell. And as much as you may be deceived into thinking those were the good times, they were not. They were not. If you're honest with yourself, the best days that you've ever lived in your life is the life that you've lived as a Christian. If you were honest with yourself. You say, how do you know that? Because now you're living the same life as everybody else except you have hope. Now you're living the same life as everybody else except now you know heaven is your home and you have a bright future in your eternity. Listen, you're going through the same heartaches that all the world's going through right now. You're seeing death and you're seeing sickness and you're seeing all these different worries in the world and you're seeing all these things going on. But hey, understand this, you're going all this from a different view. As a Christian, you're one heartbeat away from seeing the face of Jesus. Think about that. One heartbeat away from being in heaven for eternity. And believe me, when that time happens, your troubles are over. So how in the world can you say that those were the good times before I got saved? Listen, those were not the good times. The good times that you have right now are the good times that you're living today. That's the good times. But sometimes we get back there to where we're looking back at the world. You better remember Lot's wife. Better remember Lot's wife. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Sometimes we get to looking back at those supposed good times. Another thing we sometimes look back at, and that is sometimes we look back at our past accomplishments. Our past accomplishments. Perhaps when Mrs. Lot turned and looked back, she was thinking about all the things that she had accomplished back in Sodom. Perhaps she was the head of the PTA there in Sodom. Maybe she had won the Employee of the Month award at the place of her employment. We don't know for sure, but something made her turn around and look. Something did. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves looking back at our past accomplishments. We start to reminisce over the sports we played back when we were young and the trophies that we won in the past and the things that we consider great accomplishments, and that pride starts to build within us. And we start to think that, you know, that we are actually that same person that we used to be. And we actually think we're in the same shape that we used to be. And we start to think of all the things that we did in the past and all of our accomplishments. But really, what worth of is all of those things compared to your soul being saved? What does anything matter? You know what the wisest man in the whole world said over in Ecclesiastes? He said it over and over and over. He said, "Vanity of vanities, it's all vanity." That's everything. That's your past accomplishments. That's your past rewards. That's all those trophies. That's all those things that you have on your I love me wall. How many of you know what an I love me wall is? You know, it has all the different accomplishments that you have. So when you walk in, you can say, "Ah, look at that. Look at me." It's all vanity. It means nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if we're not careful, sometimes that's what we keep on looking at. We keep on looking at that. Now, how do all those accomplishments really compare to the things that you can accomplish for the glory of God? Turn, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, we see Paul talking here, and I'm just going to tell you, when you read about Paul, before he was saved, he was a very accomplished man. He had done many, many things. And Paul knew that he had done many things. But I want you to notice Paul's attitude towards those accomplishments. In Philippians chapter 3, I'll wait till everybody gets there. Don't hear any more pages turning. Philippians chapter 3, look if you would at verse 4. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, he's saying, everybody else, you think you've accomplished a whole lot? You ain't accomplished anything. Verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul here was talking about the things that he had accomplished in the flesh before he was saved. Paul's saying, I got all this stuff, being the stock of Israel, being the tribe of Benjamin, being the Hebrew of Hebrews. Got all that from the Lord, but I gave it back to Christ. I counted it as all loss. He's not saying that these things were worthless. He's simply saying, as far as I'm concerned, anything I gained by the blessings of the Lord, I count it as loss. Because I didn't get them on my own. He gave me all those things. And what I have is his, and I'm in charge of his stuff. Look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He's saying he doesn't want all those things to get between him and the Lord. He said, I don't want the stuff to get in the way. Can you say that this morning? Is your past accomplishments getting in the way? Is that what's turning you around and stopping you from doing something about something for the Lord? Is it when you're supposed to be walking and keeping your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ, rather than keeping your eyes on him, are you stopping and looking back at your accomplishments? Are you looking back there and thinking about how great you are and how great you once were? You know what Paul said? He says, I count them all as dung. I count them all as lost. They're nothing compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. They're nothing. That's the same way we're supposed to be. Paul knew that if he kept on looking back at those accomplishments and thinking that they were great, eventually they would become his idols. You know, and I'll tell you something, there are a lot of people today that their past accomplishments has become their idols. How do we know this? Because over there in 1 John it says, all that is in the world, and he names three things. He says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know what the pride of life is? You're looking back over all your accomplishments. We look back and say, this house I own, boy, I worked hard for that thing. I spent many years for that, but boy, I finally got a house. Boy, isn't it great? Listen. It's God who gave you that house. Amen. It's God who gave it to you. It's not your accomplishments. And when you look back and you say, you know, I remember back in the days and I was given this award, or I became the president of this or the vice president of that. It's all vanity. Why are we turning around and looking at those things? Paul didn't. Now look at verse 7 there in Philippians chapter 3. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He's saying all those things I had accomplished before I was saved, all those things I had thought were such great achievements, those things mean nothing to me in light of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for me. Look down at verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What are those things behind? All of his accomplishments. All his accomplishments. Who he was, what he had done, the schools he had been to, all the things he used to do in the past, all the football trophies, all the things he did in junior high. Paul's saying, forgetting all those things. And when you start to find yourself looking back at all the fleshy things you've accomplished in this life, you better remember Lot's wife. You better remember Lot's wife. Sometimes, just like Lot's wife, sometimes we turn and we look back. Sometimes we look back at what we perceive as the good times before we got saved. Sometimes we look back at our past accomplishments. But then the third thing, sometimes we tend to look back at our past failures. That day, just outside the city of Sodom, Mrs. Lot stopped. She turned and looked back at the city. And perhaps the reason she looked back was because she had regrets over her past failures. Maybe she had regrets over not doing some of the things that she should have done while she was there. Now, we don't know for sure why she looked back exactly, but something made her turn around and look back. Did you know that you can get to where you turn and start looking back at your failures and sins, and you can get where you beat yourself up over the things you did and didn't do in the past? Listen, there is one thing you need to remember, that is this. You cannot change the past. You can't change the past. I often wonder sometimes. I do. I wonder sometimes. You know, when we think about Lot's wife, maybe she was looking back there because she missed the world and she remembered the good times, or maybe she remembered accomplishments. But it could have very well been that she looked back and she said, God's destroying that city, and I had the opportunity to tell somebody that God was destroying that city, and I didn't do it. And maybe she looked back and saying, I wished I'd have done more before God delivered me. I wished I had told more people about Jesus Christ. I wished I had served. I wished I had went to church more. I wish I'd have been a good example. I wish I had a good testimony. Maybe that's what made her turn around. You say, Pastor, why would you say something like that? You know how many people I've heard say that, you know, I wish the Lord would come back right now, but I kind of wish he'd delay a little bit because there's still some things that people I need to tell about the Lord. Well, that means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You should, listen, the life you live right now, you should be looking for Christ's return, wanting him to return. If you're doing what the Lord has told you to do. The problem is today is we think that we're going to live forever. We think that we're never going to get sick. Listen, tomorrow morning you can wake up and you can be terminal and you can be gone. You don't know how long that we have. None of us know how long we have. Why are we living in such a way where we would have regrets? Why are we living in such a way where we're always looking back at our past failures? Listen, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. And we should live a life where we're not going to have regrets, no doubt about it. We should be telling everybody about Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, what happened yesterday is gone. You cannot change it. Why look back? Why look back and say, oh, I should have told somebody. Well, then tell them today. So tomorrow, you don't have to look back and say, I should have told them. We get to the point where we're always looking back. There's nothing we can do to change the past. And if you've asked God, listen, there are people today that have committed sins in the past. And those sins are still beating themselves up over those sins that they committed in the past. They're looking at their past failures. There are Christians today that they say, well, you know, I've lived a certain life and I just don't know if I'm still going to go to heaven or not. And they start to doubt their salvation. Why? Because they're looking back at the past and some of the things that they did. But here's what, there in Philippians chapter 3, here's what Paul says. Look at verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, look at verse 15. He says, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What he's saying is this. He's saying it's time to quit looking back. It's time to quit, you know, beating yourself up over past failures. It's called spilt milk. It's called water underneath the bridge. You can't go back and change a thing. It's time to quit looking back and start looking forward and start doing something for the Lord. And he says, and listen, that's what I'm going to do. And you need to be thus minded. In other words, the way I'm thinking, you need to be thinking that way. So quit looking back. There's nothing back there to look back at. Listen, when it comes to this world, this whole world is going to be destroyed one of these days. The Bible says even the elements will melt with heat. It's not going to be here very much longer. We're living in the last days. And too many Christians have stopped serving the Lord because they're always looking back. They're always stopping looking back. Listen, it never says she was doing this and looking back. It says she stopped, turned around and looked back. She's not moving forward. And are you moving forward this morning? Or are you like a lot of Christians always looking back? Talking about the good old days, you know, before he got saved, all those good times. Those weren't good times. Not good times at all. Or maybe you're looking back at all your past accomplishments and all the things you've done. Who cares? Hey, I'm glad you got rewarded. But listen, we got a job to do. We got people to tell about Jesus Christ. We got things to do. I was thinking yesterday when we went out to that outreach, the people from the church just came in and they were helping doing things. Why? Because we had an opportunity to meet people and to talk to people and invite people to church and tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, that's what's it all about right there. But there's too many Christians today that are just rather than serving the Lord and looking forward and saying, what can I do for the Lord today? How can I serve God today? What they're doing is they're looking back. Boy, I sure miss the way it used to be. Boy, the accomplishments that I had. Or maybe they're looking back and saying, I sure wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have told more people about Jesus Christ. That context there, when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, that context is future. And he said this, he says, I'm coming back. How many of you think the Lord's coming back? Amen. Can we tell you why you know the Lord's coming back? Because he said, I'm coming back. In fact, he says he's going to prepare a place for us and then he's going to come back and get us. Amen. So he is coming back. And the context there, he says, I'm coming back. And he said this, I'm coming back. You better remember Lot's wife. What he's saying is this, is don't be caught looking backward. When I come back, you be caught going forward with your eyes on me, looking for my return. Busy. Busy when the Lord returns. That's the way he wants us to be. This world needs us to be like that too. We don't need to be looking back when this world is dying and going to hell. We need to be telling them about Jesus Christ. Are you looking back this morning? Let's stand.